Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This is going to be an interesting one. This is not a series. Of course, I never know ahead. Sometimes I change my mind later when I pray. But what I want to talk about is something that has become really big in my life and has been a huge key to greater victory, and not just greater victory, but more constant victory, more consistent success. I'm real big on victory, in case you haven't noticed. I don't just want to live the Christian life. I want to apply biblical principles until I see them manifest the victory for me, and I want to instill that into everyone I know. It's just the passion that God has given me, because I don't believe we were meant to walk in so much failure and fear and negativism as I see a lot in the body. So, intentional focus wins the race. That's what I'm calling this. And this is based on, focus has always been a thing that God has talked to me about. But in the last 3 months, I've had some life-changing experiences that have really deepened my vision of it. So I want to talk about that. Now, I'm going to tell some things that are older, some things you may have heard, but many years ago, I was going through some really terrific trials, and I was actually being sued, and it was a pretty dreadful case, and it wasn't legitimate, but it did go on for several years, and it was hard. It was hard. It was scary. There was a lot of things about it. I struggled. And I was in church one morning, and this was many, many years ago. I was probably in my 30s. And I had a vision that has helped me over the years. And in the vision, I was in this room. It was probably, I'll guess, 20, 25 feet long. And at the far end of the room, I could see Jesus standing. And I locked eyes with him. Now, there was a very thin path to get to him. And on both sides of the path and on both sides of me, there was these huge flames of fire. They were way over my head, and they were everywhere except this little thin path. And they were very scary, and I'll tell you, in your flesh, you wanted to look off to the right or off to the left. You wanted to look at the scary circumstances, right? You wanted to look at the court, the judge. What if this? What if that? What if, should I tell my lawyer this? You it's easy to get in the flesh in a crisis, right? But as I stood in church, it was during worship when I saw this vision, and I knew that the Lord was trying to teach me. And in the vision, there was these terrifically huge flames, and they were scary, but there was Jesus at the other end. Now, in the trial, I wanted him to fix it, translate me out of there, just poof, I want to be out of this. End the flame, put the fires out. You're God, just do it. But Jesus did not do that, nor did he promise to do that. He said, just keep your gaze on me. Keep your focus on me. I don't think he said this, but the obvious implied statement was, don't look at the fire. Don't look at the circumstance. Don't look at anything else. Just look at me and walk through it, and it can't touch you. And so that's exactly what happened. That trial did not end right away. It was not fun, but as I walked through it, that vision kept me remembering to focus on him. Don't look at the circumstance. Don't look at what's going on all around you. Don't look at that. It's scary, and there's a million things that could go wrong here, ending with a big boom of something that could go wrong. Don't even look at that. Just keep your eyes on Jesus and keep walking toward him. And I will tell you that I walked through that trial. It did take, I think, probably a couple of more years, but I came through it, and those fires never did burn me. And so what I found, though, is that focus is important whether you're in a crisis or not, because focus keeps you very close to him. So one of the scriptures God gave me for today is Proverbs 4. Verse 25, let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths through your feet. and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil. And so that was very much, I think that's very good advice for every day of our lives. Whether we're in a big crisis or not, we're not always. Sometimes we're in smooth sailing, but focus, even in a time of smooth sailing, is wonderful for staying close to Him and having God wisdom for every day. So we're going to resist the temptation to look at circumstances. 2 Corinthians 4:18, it says, so we fix our eyes, remember that phrase, fix our eyes, not on what is seen. In other words, not on the situations on the earth, not on how your kid is behaving or whatever's going on at work. We don't fix our eyes on that, not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. So he's actually telling us to look at something we can't see in the natural. That's kind of strange, isn't it? For what is seen, in other words, what your physical eyes can see, is temporary. But what is unseen is eternal. In other words, your answer isn't found by fixing it in the earth realm. Your answer is found by looking into God's realm. Now, I said to remember the phrase, fix our eyes. And that, when you look it up, it means to direct one's attention on a thing in order to get it or to aim at it. So it's a fixing, it's a determination. Fixing reminds me of a determination to keep looking at Jesus, and in a time of trial that needs some determination. Or if we're not in a crisis, one of the things I've learned in later years is that I have to resist the temptation to just get sucked into all the stuff that needs to be done. C.S. Lewis called it the tyranny of the urgent. In other words, he said it this way, that the urgent is often not what is the most important, but it's urgent. So we rush around, we're doing all the urgent stuff, the to-do list, the things we have to do without paying attention to what's really important. And that's almost placing an order to be backslid. Sometimes a person's day can become reacting to whatever the current crisis is. And if you just go through life in a reactive mode, you're just handling whatever comes and saying, God, help me with this, God, help me with that. That's not really victory. It actually defaults to us handling it in the flesh. Some people react to whatever the news is. And we're all aware of constant news. But that can become a God. We have to be careful that the news doesn't become our focus. God is a jealous God, and He wants your focus on Him. Here's been the thing that I overcome and am overcoming and overcome continually. The current to-do list with never-ending Excel spreadsheet of 8 million things that I should do, need to do, want to do, and I'm sure with God's help I can do, right? And so for me, I've had days in my past where that took too much ownership of my emotions. And so real quickly I went to the Lord and said, you have to teach me. And He taught me some simple things that have helped me to overcome, so I'm not owned by the list. Some of you don't know what I'm talking about, but some of you do. Or if there isn't a crisis, some people just fill the day with seemingly important things that are really inconsequential. If you don't plan to have a life with God, you won't have one. You know, people don't understand that our human nature, our nature, our flesh nature, by default, gradually flows away from God. So if we don't on purpose do some things to set our stakes, to bind ourselves to the Lord, we have to on purpose do that, you'll find yourself by nature growing further from Him. By nature, 2, 3, 4 days away from a lot of time with Him, a week away, pretty soon you start to get a little crusty. You start to lose your edge. You start to feel far from Him. Then when He comes in and says, God is mad at you. No, He's not. He's not. But you have allowed space to grow, because our natural, you have to picture it like the water. You flow gradually away from Him unless you, on purpose, make a plan to focus. Reinhard Bonnke said something interesting. And at the time that I heard it, I did not understand it. But now I do understand it, and I consider it to be extremely important. Someone, I think some type of Christian reporter went to him and they said, you know, what he did was amazing in that he held these crusades. What he did, I don't think had been done in human history, that they would have crusades where in 1 week, 3.4 million signed first-time decisions for Christ in a week. I mean, we'd never seen anything on that scale before. But what the person was asking was, how have you managed to do it for so many decades and you've never lost your fire? You've never lost your zeal? And Reinhardt's answer was, you keep swimming against the waves. And I remember not understanding that, but over time learning that to stay by God, you have to on purpose do things that will keep you near him, keep your zeal strong, keep you in him. Otherwise, our nature is just like if you're standing in the ocean, you'll start to float away. Even if you're just, if you've never been to the ocean, let's say you go out and you're just enjoying standing out there and letting the waves just kind of gently wash you. And let's say your family is on the beach. If you don't plant your feet hard, without your knowing it, pretty soon you look up and your family's way down the beach because you gradually got moved away from them and you didn't even know it happened because you don't feel it happening. Well, that's just what he meant. You have to keep swimming against the waves to stay close to God and to stay near him. So for me, this involves planning how I will get close to him. You've heard me say front slide. It's the opposite of backslide. I made up that word because our nature is to backslide if we don't stay close to him. But we can put certain things into place to front slide or remain close to him. So you just think about, how will I get closer to him? Would I spend more time in the Word, reading and studying? I like to do both, and I do them separately now. It's easier for me, so I do some reading where I don't stop every second word and look it up. I read it to get the story, because then I get one type of thing out of it. And then I also do study where I dig in there. I dig into those words or phrases or commentaries. I dig in to find out more. Or would you pray more in the Spirit? Would you spend more listening time or just sitting in his presence? I remember one time I got into the car. I had long commutes every day. And I got into the car and I had the choice of listening to a teaching, you know, because I had at least an hour drive. And I thought, well, I could listen to a teaching, I could pray in the Spirit, or I could sit and listen to the Lord. And I said, Lord, what would you like to do? He said, I'd like you to listen to me. And I said, really? And he said, did you know that listening is a form of worship? And I said, no, I didn't. And he said, because when you listen to me, you're saying that what I have to say is more important than what you have to say. Okay, so you actually planned a focus. Intentional focus is just that. It's intentional. You have to do it on purpose, and you have to be proactive about it. So you have to actually put some thought into how do I set up my life so that I remain close to God? So for me, part of that is I have certain times of prayer. I do two, at least a minimum of two times with the Lord a day where I'm just sitting with him, hanging out with him. Now, this is not for everybody, but I'm a minister and I have to do more. I do a lot in the Word. I do pray in the Spirit. I go to several prayer meetings where I'm praying in the Spirit, but I on purpose, so I don't worry, because I can't do all of it in a day every day. So if I miss prayer one day, that's okay. I pick it up the next day because maybe I was more time in the Word one day. I found that I'm not great with superstructure, but I do need to plan my focus. Now here's what I want to get to, and some of you will have heard this if you came to the retreat, but I really felt I was supposed to share this because this changed my life. In November, in the beginning of November, I was traveling, and the Lord said to me, he did not want me, he wanted me to spend the whole month with him, and he wanted me to do none of my work except what absolutely had to be done. Oh, excuse me, my alarm's going off. Oh, dear. Excuse me one moment. I don't want that to happen again. Sorry about that. Hallelujah. Now you know how pretty my alarm is. So he said to me the beginning of November to only do the things that they absolutely have to be done. For example, you have to pay your bills. There are certain things in the ministry that have to be done under a time constraint. But other than those, he said, no projects. You're just going to spend the time with me. I thought, I had two thoughts. One was, yay, I get to just spend time with God and I don't have to do the work. Another was, that's going to mean December is going to be really hard. There's going to be twice as much work. Well, guess what? At the beginning of December, he said it again. In fact, I tried. I had this great project I was going to do. I had my computer, my monitor. I was going to do this great video project. I was going to develop this thing, and nothing worked. And at first, I thought it was the enemy, and then I realized it was the Lord. He said, I don't want you to do that. I want you to spend time with me for the month of December. Again, same two thoughts. Wow, that's awesome. I get to spend time with God. But all that stuff, I could just see stuff piling up for me to do. Well, I had two phenomenal months with the Lord. Phenomenal. Here came January, and it was about the 2nd or 3rd of January, late at night, probably midnight. I'm sitting in my prayer chair, and the Lord said to me, will you give me January? And I thought, wow, I mean, this is really stretching me. And then all of a sudden, I knew he was saying, will you give me the rest of your life? And I was spending a lot of time with him and having these awesome experiences because my focus was solely on him. It brings a different type of relationship. Now, he's always been my focus. He's always been my heartthrob. I spend time with him all day. I've had an open heaven for years. I listen to him. Hey, Anna, we talk all the time. I'm constantly in communion with him. However, this type of focus was very focused, and so I was having amazing times with the Lord. And so I suddenly knew without him saying it, he is going to have me do this the rest of my life. And I said, Lord, how? This is great, and I love it because I'm having the time of my life with you, but what about all these things that are projects that you have given me to do? I mean, it was clearly you. And he said some things to me. Now, before I tell them to you, let me remind you of the story of Mary and Martha. There's an expression in there that Jesus uses. When he's explaining to Martha, he said, Martha, Martha, you're encumbered by much serving. But he said this phrase, but really only one thing is necessary. One thing is necessary. And Mary's chosen the better thing. Well, God has put a focus for years for me on that phrase, there's one thing that's necessary. All these other things, they'll come along. You know, remember how it says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added to you. We might also say all these other things will end up getting done if you seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, if you seek his face first, if your focus is on him. Now, so remember, only one thing is necessary. That's the line that Jesus said. Now think about that. So now within that context, God says to me, you're going to do the one thing, but it's going to become one to many, to one, to many, to one, to many. So when he said it, I realized he was saying, I will spend the time with him and I'll be able to do the many things, but I'll come back to the one thing. And that will be in a much more focused way than I won't say than I've ever done. But since I got in the ministry, it's been harder to have those focused times. And it's not that it even takes more time. It takes more focus, a stronger intention. So, what began to happen was in January, the first thing that has to happen, if you have a ministry, by law, you are required to send out receipts to anyone that gave over a certain amount, and you have to have it done by the 31st. That's by law. A lot of people don't, but I've always had that's the first thing I do in January. And last year, It has become more and more complicated because people give so many different ways now. In the olden days, they gave cash or a check. That's it. You record it. Boom. Well, now they might give through our website. They might give through our app. It might come from Tithely. It might come from an offering that was made at the CD table. It's all these different platforms. So now you have all these different data sources. And so last year, I had quite the time pulling it all together, getting it all in one format, and then putting that into some kind of format I could do the letters from. So last year, I think it took me over 3 weeks. I felt very late. I think it was the 26th or 28th or something before I actually got them out the door. And I remember thinking, you know, even having notes on my calendar, you know, to focus diligently on this. Well, I had been spending all this time with God, and when I went to do them, it happened in about 3.5 days. It just came to everything, just whoosh, happened. And I thought, something has happened here, because this, honestly, that was way easier than it's ever been, ever. And so I began to notice a pattern of when I would spend my time with Him, when I would focus on Him, and when I would actually put everything aside and not half-heartedly. Did you ever read the Bible, and maybe you haven't, but did you ever read the Bible, but in your mind there's distractions, and you find yourself kind of reading, but your mind had wandered, or you're thinking about a problem with the kids or whatever, and then you realize your focus is, you're kind of actually double-minded, you're not really focusing. And so one of the things God has taught me during this time is that focus can be like a muscle that you exercise. And at first, especially if you're doing a lot of phone stuff, your focus gets, your periods of focus get very short to seconds, right? You look at something, you flip to the next, you know, those short video, short caption, boom, boom, boom. You're looking and flipping very, very fast. And it's actually training your focus to become very short. And your fuse, if you notice, if you've been doing that, here's one of the things you'll notice. Your fuse gets short when something isn't quick enough. You know what? Boom, this should work. If your computer takes too long, or somebody takes too long to answer, you start getting crabby because you've learned to expect immediate things. Now, it used to be bad. They used to compare this to fast food, but fast food is slow now compared to how fast your phone is. But what it's actually doing is it's training your focus responder to be very short. And so as I began to exercise the focus muscle, when I would sit with the Lord, and this is something I've been really doing for years when I would sit with the Lord, there'd be times when your attention would try to wander, but you'd just bring it back. You know, Brother Lawrence talks about this in his book, Practicing the Presence. He was practicing to stay in the presence all day long, even though he was doing chores. He was doing more of a physical type chore. It's a little tougher when you're doing mental chores, right? Because that's a bit different dynamic. But for him, he would either be repairing shoes or doing dishes. But what he learned was, at first, he was trying to praise the Lord internally, just in his mind, and focus on the goodness of God, tell God how great He is. But his focus, his mind would wander, but he said he kept bringing it back. He'd catch it and bring it back. And he said over time it got to where his thoughts stayed on the Lord continually, like all day long. And so I really recommend, if you have not read that book, it's called, I think it's called The Practice of the Presence of God by Brother Lawrence, who was lived in a monastery. But my point is this, focus is a muscle that you can make to be very strong. And the good news is you can apply it wherever you want. Once you get a strong focus, the ability to focus on something, this is something amazing. I can go into the presence and keep my focus on the Lord for much, much longer. So I'm having, let's say I'm having a experience with God, or He's teaching me something. My flesh, you know, if my focus muscle wasn't being trained, my flesh might say, oh, let's get out and let's go do thus and so. That should really be done. Now, if you practice your focus muscle, you can get it so strong that your flesh just, it's just used to sit, you know, like a dog you train to sit and wait until you say, okay, now, and then he moves. It's just like that. Your flesh has to be trained and your focus has to be trained. But here's the really great news, is that your focus when you're with God can be longer and stronger and without interruption. But when you do go to do one of the projects you need to do, you can turn your focus muscle on that and not be distracted by 10 million little things and just do it. So I know everyone's life is different. I know some of you have little children, and so you'll have to, you know, you have to take into account kids need focus and they need attention. And so moms and dads get very good usually at handling multitasking. And so, you know, not everyone has the luxury of living alone or living with the Lord. I do. I did not always, but I do understand that. So by no means is this saying everybody's going to have the same situation. But for me, that's one of the reasons I like late at night, is because it's the quietest time. I do first thing in the morning, last thing at night, but also throughout the day I check in. And honestly, the door is open all day long. I mean, I talk to the Lord all day long, but there are special focus times for me. And there's focus when I'm studying or reading the Word in the middle of the day. So I hope you find this helpful, but I feel like one last thing is, we don't know what the future holds, but I've had a sense of some gathering clouds, possibly a gathering storm of some kind, not a natural storm, but something that is a circumstance that would be kind of tough. And especially then, we need our focus to be on God and not on the fires or the storms around us. Because when you look at the storm, whether it's, you know, war or whether it's whatever it is, whatever goes on, if you begin to look at that, now you're in crisis mode, you're in the flesh, and it's going to be hard to make decisions because your flesh will be screaming at you what it thinks you need to do. But if you can keep your gaze on Jesus and not look at those fires, not look at whatever's going on around you, and keep your, I mean, we're aware, we're not in denial, we're not denying or not aware, but you have an awareness while your focus is on Him. In other words, you're not letting it own you. You're not letting the circumstances own you. And that's really important, because when you're in that state, you can hear very well from God. You can hear what to do, where to go, when to stop, when to wait, okay? So I believe this is something God wants us to develop in this day. He will really bless it. Just consider it a muscle that needs to be worked. And, you know, we can get real flabby in the area of focus, right? But we can also get really strong. And when we get strong, it's a great blessing. So I love you. God loves you. And we'll talk to you next time.
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Holly Bailey. You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.